This is From Fear to Fabulous with Natalie Eve Marquis, episode 8.
Welcome to From Fear to Fabulous, the podcast that helps you transform fear, heal emotional wounds, gain absolute clarity, and live a fabulous life. Now here's your host, master intuitive healer, coach, and teacher, Natalie Eve Marquis.
Talk about anxiety and my theory about the real reason why so many experience generalized anxiety today. This is particularly important if you're an empath, highly sensitive person, or psychically sensitive like myself, although it's by no means exclusive to these groups. Unlike some, I don't believe it's because our life experiences are inherently more stressful or traumatic than the ones our ancestors faced. If you think about it, our ancestors had more reasons to feel anxious and afraid. They had less quality medical care and mental health resources, lower life expectancy, less freedoms, and more disease, famine, abuse, and wars. There are many known causes of anxiety, including childhood abuse, trauma, chronic stress, mental health disorders, and so on. But in today's episode, I want to tackle the elephant in the room. Most of us are unaware of this elephant because we've lived with the beast so long, we often overlook it's there. Or to use another analogy, we're all fishes swimming in a fish tank. Over the years, our fish tank has changed from beautiful, dreamy-like ocean landscape scenery and the sounds of our own fins swishing in the water to neon gold coins flashing and beeping and pop-up treasure chests pinging us in every direction. This has happened so gradually. We think the way we're living is normal, but it's not normal, and without some purposeful intervention, it's not healthy for us. My theory is we experience more generalized anxiety because our attention is chronically fragmented and overstimulated. Unlike early human times when we woke with the sun, hearing the birds chirp and the leaves rustle in the breeze, we are now bombarded with unnatural stimuli from the time we get up until we go to sleep. The stimulus onslaught is physical, visual, and auditory. We are physically maxed by the demands of work, family, our schedules, and unrealistic to-do lists and information coming at us from so many different directions. We are visually overloaded with buildings, vehicles, commercial signage, and we're auditorily taxed by the sound of cars, trains, planes, and the ever-present hum of appliances and equipment. In addition, information overload has become the norm. In a study of 1,000 British people, they found that over a third of them felt like having to keep up with today's information overload leaves them feeling stressed out, unable to relax, and anxious. But it's not just the information our brains have to keep up with. We are bombarded with ads vying for our attention everywhere we go. There are advertising videos talking to us at the gas pumps and elevators, over individual tables at McDonald's, in dressing rooms, on the backs of taxi seats, pop-up ads on computer screens, instant messages, and more. And then there's the information we have quickly come not to be able to live without on social media. According to a new study in the American Psychological Association, nearly half of all Americans say they're checking their emails, texts, or social media accounts constantly. One study found that as of 2013, we're checking our phones on average of 150 times a day. The average teen sends 3,000 text messages a month. And 36% of all people check their cell phones while having sex, they say, and 70% sleep with their phones. And psychologists estimate that as many as 5 to 10% of Americans meet the criteria for social media addiction. But all of this is normal. It's just the way it is today. It shouldn't bother us. It's just the way we live. While this may be the way we're all living, it's not biologically normal for the human species. Biologically, we are programmed to pay attention to interruptions and to notice what's different or new in our environment. In social media, and especially you know, builds their platforms around this knowledge. That's why, you know, there are little counts on how many new messages you get, and you are pinged while you're sitting just enjoying your lunch. You know, you'll have a ping saying, oh, you have a new message, because they know we are biologically programmed to pay attention to stuff like that. We actually get an adrenaline rush. We have a physical response in our body to new stimuli. Our body physically rewards us for paying attention to the new. In so many of these new digital media and advertising tools, take advantage of that, and oftentimes to our own detriment. So in this very fast-paced world, it's easy and it's tempting to always react to that new thing, that new email, that new Facebook post, YouTube video, or text. But when we live in a reactive way, we minimize our capacity to experience peace and to focus on and pursue our goals. The amount of interruptions we experience correlates to more stress, frustration, and lowered creativity. For the human brain, attention is everything. And most of what our brain is working hard to do is filter stuff out so we can focus our attention on the things that matter. The problem is that all this filtering and tuning out work uses a lot of brain power. Granted, most of this attention filtering activity occurs below our conscious awareness, but it still frazzles and drains us. Brendan Keame, in an article called Digital Overload is Frying Our Brains on Wired.com, says there are ways to cut back on multitasking and interruptions so you can shape your own environment and work style to better use your brain's attentional networks. If you have a difficult problem or conundrum to solve, he says, you need to think about where you work best. Right now, people hope they'll be able to think or create or problem solve in the midst of a noisy, cluttered environment. But again, this approach unwittingly wastes precious cognitive energy. Getting quiet truly is the best starting point. There are many ways to achieve the quiet and soothing environment our biology needs. The antidote is to create daily doses of peace and quiet. You don't have to get all zen and meditate and live on the top of a mountain. Just create little pockets of peace throughout your day to offset the daily bombardment. And if this sounds boring, it's only because you've become addicted to being entertained or busy all the time. You may get a little antsy initially practicing some of these techniques, but give your body time to reset itself, and you'll come to crave these pockets of peace. To create pockets of peace, temporarily put away all the visual and auditory stimuli, the TV, the radio, tablets, smartphones, and so on, so you can intentionally create little pockets of peace throughout your day. So here are some ways you can do that. Number one, set a timer and enjoy 10 minutes of quiet contemplation. You can grab a cup of tea or a cup of coffee if you like. Go sit outside on the steps and just enjoy the sun and your drink. And just sit quietly for 10 minutes. Just being mindful of where you are in the day around you, how you feel, what's going on. Just enjoy where you are now. Number two, practice contour drawing. Those who want to learn how to draw typically use this technique, but it's not just for artists. It can be done by anyone, and it's a practice that naturally quiets the mind. And to do this, all you need is a pencil and a piece of paper. So say you want to do some contour drawing, you would grab a cup of, and put it on a table and your pencil and piece of paper. And then you just look at that cup and you put your, find a spot on your paper, maybe kind of on the lower side to give yourself room to draw that cup. Put your pencil on that piece of paper. And then as you look at the cup, you're not going to look at your drawing at all. And you're not going to lift your pencil up at any point in time. You're just going to start someplace and then just look at the coffee cup and draw around the coffee cup. Just draw the coffee cup without lifting your pencil, just following the move. Have your eyes follow the contour of the coffee cup while your pencil follows along with your eyes, and just draw the coffee cup Again, not looking at your paper, not lifting your pencil, just looking at the object and kind of following along with your pencil. And that's it. But it requires, it's such a simple technique, yet it requires a one-pointed focus, which naturally calms the mind and the body. So that's contour drawing. It's not just for artists. Number three, color in an adult coloring book. There are lots of studies out there saying that adult coloring actually relaxes your brain. And today there are so many fabulous topics you can buy coloring books on for adults, you know, from fantasy art to inspirational Christian art, all kinds out there. So really do a search, you know, grab some, you know, inexpensive colored pencils and just, take 10 or 15 minutes and do some adult coloring book. The problem, though, is that a lot of people try to do adult coloring while they're watching television, so it sort of defeats the purpose of, you know, reducing that attention fragmentation. So when you're doing your adult coloring, try doing some of it with no stimuli, just you and your colored pencils and your coloring book. Number four, go for a walk in nature, preferably someplace away from crowds and traffic. You know, after these suggestions that I'm listing, I'll talk a little bit more about the benefits of nature, which are huge for the human biology. But for now, just take a few minutes and go out and be in nature. Go for a walk or just sit outside, again, someplace away from crowds and traffic if you can, and just be in nature. Immerse yourself in nature. Number five, this kind of ties into number four, but take your lunch or dinner outside and just enjoy a quiet picnic outside. Number six, practice pareidolia. I hope I said that right. But all this is just lying on the grass and looking up at the clouds and having fun spotting shapes and images in the cloud. Oh, look, there's a dinosaur. Oh, nope, there's a chicken. Oh, my gosh, it's an angel. I actually had a fabulous experience happen a few years ago when I was at Picasso's having lunch with a friend, and I looked over his left shoulder, and I just saw this gorgeous angel cloud in the sky, and it was really so amazing. It even had a halo. I mean, it was just so obvious it was an angel. I took several pictures of it, and I'll try to post that with the show notes so you can check it out. But anyway, pareidolia, noticing shapes in the clouds. If you're an empath and do intuitive work by trade, I've got two additional tips for you. The first is to consciously and intentionally pull in your intuitive antennas. Our intuitive senses reach out for our clients, to our family members, spirit guides, the future, and more, and quite often we forget to pull them back in. And all this sensing in many different directions also fragments our brain's attention and capacity. This is why sometimes we can feel a bit drained and frazzled. So the goal is to sit quietly and intentionally pull in your intuitive antennas. It strictly works by intention. You just have to intend it. You'll notice they start responding as soon as you set that intention of pulling it back into your own energy. And when you retract your intuitive antennas back into your own energetic bubble, you'll feel your energy quiet. And sometimes you'll even feel a bit of an energetic boost as that energy comes back to you. So I recommend you do this technique at least once a day, preferably at bedtime. And another technique for intuitives is to dimmer down your intuition. I'm a professional psychic and energy healer, and I've worked with many local psychics. And what I found is that many of us are not only using our intuition for our clients, but we're also unconsciously, constantly, intuitively scanning our environment and the people in it. Don't get me wrong. I don't mean they're going around reading everybody, but they're kind of unconsciously just sensing sort of the vibe of everything around them. It's like they've trained themselves or not trained themselves. They're just doing it instinctively. But all this intuiting, even unconsciously below your awareness, can really drain you. And sometimes you're just picking up things that are, you know, strong and can overload your senses. So just like other people might have one ear open, you know, that kind of just be listening so they can hear someone approaching, many intuitives are always sort of wide open psychically. And this too fragments our attention, but we have control over this. And so we can dimmer down how much we're picking up in our environment, because if we don't, over time, this too fragments our attention and it drains and exhausts us. So the solution is to intentionally tune down the volume of your intuition when you're feeling a little drained and fragmented. This works solely on intention, just like the prior technique. You just imagine that your intuition or your psychic sense is a dimmer switch, and you can turn it down from saying being wide open or to a quarter open or whatever feels comfortable for you. You can always open it back up when you want to. So I recommend you experiment with tuning it all the way down as well so you can give your energy system a rest once in a while. And again, this is a great thing to do at night. And again, if you were wide open, you'll feel your energy quiet as you tune down your intuitive outreach. I had an experience once where I'd been teaching a class all day and sort of was channeling while I was doing it. And we went out for lunch and, kind of forgot to pull in my intuitive senses. And while we were having lunch, I all of a sudden out of the blue started to feel, you know, really anxious and sort of agitated. And again, it just kind of came out of the blue. So I kind of went in inside and I'm like, is this me? You know, what's going on? What was I thinking to cause this? Didn't find anything. And then I became aware when I said, this is me, that it wasn't me. I was picking up on something, someone around me. So all I did is I just did this dimmer downed. My intuition, so I was no longer picking up what was around me. And instantly I felt my energy calm and quiet. So that's an intuitive dimmering down, dimmer down your intuitive senses. All right, so those are my, I think they were 8 techniques. And the last bit that I want to talk about is the importance of nature, getting out in nature for at least 20 minutes a day. It should be given out as prescriptions. In the book, Nature Fix, which is a fabulous book with tons of research in it, I highly recommend it. It's a really good read. It almost kind of seemed like a no-brainer to me that we need to write a book about the physical benefits of nature, but it is a really good book. And it's even though it has a lot of research in it, it's a really beautiful read. The author did a fabulous job. So I'll leave a link to that in the show notes. But anyway, in that book, The Nature Fix, Yoshifumi Miyazaki, a physical anthropologist and vice director of the Center for Environmental Health and Field Sciences at Sibo University near Tokyo, he says, throughout our evolution, we've spent 99% of our time in nature. Our physiology is still adapted to it, nature, that is. And during everyday life, a feeling of comfort can be achieved if our rhythms are synchronized with those of the environment. To prove our physiological response to different habitats, Miyazaki has taken hundreds of research subjects into the woods since 2004. He's found that leisurely walks in the woods compared to urban walks deliver a 12% decrease in cortisol levels. But that's not all. These people also recorded a 7% decrease in sympathetic nerve activity, a 1.4% decrease in blood pressure, and a 6% decrease in heart rate. And on psychological questionnaires, they also report better moods and lowered anxiety. Miyazaki's conclusion is, this shows that stressful states can be reduced by Shinrin therapy, otherwise known as forest bathing, being out in the deep woods. Joshua Smith, a behavioral health psychologist at Penn State, said we should think about soundscapes and nature sounds as medicine. It's like a pill, he says. You can prescribe sounds, you know, the sounds of nature, birds chirping and the ocean waves or a walk in the park, much the way we prescribe exercise. Do it 20 minutes a day, he says, as a lifetime approach, or you can do it as acute stress intervention. When you're stressed, go to a quiet place. Today's episode has been about raising our awareness of about the impact of attention fragmentation, what it is and how it impacts us physiologically, and offering some techniques that we can do to help offset that. So I'm just going to summarize them really quickly here. To calm generalized anxiety and reduce attention fragmentation, minimize the distractions, reduce information overload, focus on one thing at a time, create pockets of peace throughout your day, and get out in nature for at least 20 minutes a day. Try this for a week, and what a difference it will make. So that's it for today. I'll have links to the book The Nature Fix and all the research I referenced in the show notes. Other than that, I really do hope you find a way to add more pockets of peace throughout your day, and I hope you have a fabulous day.
Thank you for listening to the From Fear to Fabulous podcast. It would be so fabulous if you would take a moment to subscribe and write a quick review about us on iTunes. If you have any questions, comments, or topics you'd like us to cover, then please visit us at nataliemarquis.com.